A bridge. All right, so we're up to Siman Kuf Pei Aleph. New topic tonight. Topic of Hakafas Harosh v'Hashchatas Hazakin. So and it's important to realize there's really not totally different sugyas, but two different sugyas over the course of Kuf Pei Aleph. One of them is the prohibition of cutting off your payas, and the other one is the prohibition of shaving off one's beard. So those are two different mitzvos in the Torah, and they have a few different dinim. So the first part, the first thing that we'll discuss, we'll try to keep the conversation solely to, there'll be one lean over, we'll try to keep the conversation solely to the cutting of the payas. Now the actual location of it, I think we're not going to get up to tonight.
So Hakafas HaRosh is like rounding, putting a pot on your head and just like cutting up your
hair. Yes, well, that's a machlokas already, what it is. Either cutting here and leaving, cutting the side and leaving the top, or even just cutting the entire thing. So we seem to assume cutting the entire thing is still a problem. All right, so let's see the tour here. Now, the tour sort of gives you a little bit of an introduction. In the beginning of Kuf Pei Aleph, there's no Aleph there mentioned to point out that it's the beginning of a Sif. He just says, HaKafas HaRosh V'Shechatas HaZakein, Gam Be'elu Kasav HaRambam, the cutting off, the rounding of the head and the shaving and the destroying of the beard. So these the Rambam writes, She'asurim HaKasav Yifnei She'o, that the Torah prohibited, V'nei She'osin Kein Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Was the Ovdei Avodah Zarah V'chom Rehim, and their priests, they do that kind of thing. So Adkan, that's the Rambam. So the Torah has a problem with this. That's not explicit anywhere. Don't say that the Torah doesn't say that that's the reason for the prohibition. And then the Torah then says something a little odd. He says, mitzvos. We don't need to search for a reason for the mitzvos. Ki mitzvos melachim aleinu, afim lo neida taimon. Because these are mitzvos from the king, even if we don't know the reason. So the Torah says, why is the Rambam trying to assign a reason? And he shouldn't be assigning a reason. The mitzvahs are applicable to us, whether or not we know the reason. So what's exactly is the problem here? So the Beis Yosef here, again, before, you'll notice there's no Aleph there. It's just kind of a preamble to the Siman. So the Beis Yosef quotes that, the Rambam, and then he quotes the Torah getting upset with him. And the Beis Yosef then says, Dvar Muvuarim, Shadaisu lachok al Rambam. It sounds like the Torah is disagreeing with the Rambam. So lama lo levakish tamim.
So where are we doing that?
In the Beis Yosef.
Three lines down.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a bunch of bold, and then there's. And he says, "Dvar muvarim shadaitu lachol kal Rambam." It sounds like the Torah has some kind of machlokas with the Rambam. Lama lo levakish tami daita? Why is he trying to figure out a reason l'shum mitzvah for any mitzvah? Shenir she'il lo ayah yodim tami mitzvahs lo haynu mitzuvim la'asosan. The implication that the Torah seems to have, at least the Beis Yosef's claim that the implication that the Torah is making is that the Rambam had to find a reason, because if there is no reason that was found by the Rambam, so then maybe we don't really have to keep it because it's not really important to us, and that's why the Torah got so upset. It's not true. And even if we don't know the reason, we have to do that. It says Vani Omer, Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo. He says, I say the Chasei LaRambam Lil Misbar Hachi. Come on, the Rambam wouldn't say such a thing. Umi Yachush LaChavrat Torah Mitzvos Yosef Imenu. Who's more concerned about the honor of Torah Mitzvos than him? Vidvar B'Sof Alachus Miila and Yochichu V'Chiyotzi Behem Kasa B'Sof Hilchus Temura V'Sof Hilchus Mikvos. So all those three sections, I believe they're all the end of the section. He there explains. Even though all of the chukos are rules from the king, whatever you could find a reason for, we should try to find a reason for. Like Rabbi Shimon, who is Dorish Taim of the Kra. Now, Rabbi Shimon went too far with being Dorish Taim of the Kra. Right? What does Dorish Taim of the Kra mean? Dorish Taim of the Kra means trying to figure out what the reason is and perhaps paskening accordingly. So the Rambam, the basis of saying the Rambam doesn't necessarily say that. He's saying that we try to figure out what the reasons are. That's just part of learning. Not necessarily that it's going to impact our application of it. But if he can't find the reason, so we truck it up to just a lack of our understanding. But we still have to keep them, like the reasons that we do know the reasons for. So for these mitzvahs, the Rambam didn't necessarily give a reason. But for some, the Rambam gave the reason based on his own understanding. He didn't just make it up. But when if you hear, the Rambam has a svara for why, because the prohibition of the cutting off of the payas has sections before and after having to deal with chukas agayim. They're having to deal with these kinds of things. The section right before is the prohibition of eating with blood or doing nichush, superstition, or onain is the astrology, right? And right afterwards is the cutting and the tattooing. So therefore it's mistaber, the Rambam says, that this is included in the same thing, that's the same kind of prohibition, that you're not allowed to get these types of haircuts or these types of beard cuts, because it seems like it has something to do with the Avodah Zarah. But it's not necessarily that there's any ramifications to it. Right? The Rambam is just giving his svara as to what it is. The Darkei Moshe goes a little bit easier on it. The Darkei Moshe Aleph here says, Vani Omer Gamkein Chasei L'Rabbeinu Shiyachshu B'Ksherim. Says, I don't understand why the Tur was Choshed B'Ksherim. Why was the Tur getting so upset with the Rambam? Kimoa Rambam, right? Suggesting that if we don't know the reason, we wouldn't do it. Nobody believes that. Elohu rak derech ha-pok, the word derech might be taken out. Ha-pokrim b'Torah. That's only those who are trying to uproot the Torah. She'im aminim rak ma she'yaskim alav ha-secha. That they only do what the Seicha believes. Now, the Rama is the Rama is living, 1400s, I think. 1300s, end of 1300s, beginning of 1400s. I'm not sure what era. This is pre-Reform, pre-Renaissance, pre-Enlightenment.
Rama?
Yeah.
Rama is...
Correct.
1500.
Already 1500s? Is that late? Renaissance. Okay, so maybe he was already starting. All right. So he was nervous about... I'm not sure we have any records in the Jewish community of that taking effect, but no, the Rama seems to be alluding to something here. But we never think that about the Rambam. Rather, he was just saying that we shouldn't be doresh the kra and say it's only prohibited if the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and the Chumrayim do it. El b'cholin yinaser, right? Meaning the Darkei Moshe is saying, don't think that the Torah actually thought that the Rambam was suggesting that you might only do your performance of the mitzvahs depend on understanding the reason. Rather, the Darkei Moshe is giving pshat in the Torah as being upset with the Rambam, that the Torah was suggesting that the Rambam might only prohibit it if you're doing it like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do it. And the Torah is saying, no, it should be Asar anyways. Ela b'chol inyan Asar hol v'ein atam mefurish b'mikra. Not like the Beis Yosef was saying, who was explaining it was concerned that we wouldn't, that it's just something that we otherwise wouldn't understand, therefore you wouldn't have to do it. So there is one more pshat. How are we doing here? Time. There is one more explanation as to what this machlokas is, and that is found in the Taz. I'm deciding whether to go do that now or whether to. Yeah, let's just go back. Keep your finger on the place. Let's just go back. Okay. So keep your finger on the place and take a look at the Taz in the beginning of Kuf Pei Aleph, where the Taz, also before the Shulchan Aruch starts talking, the Taz already jumps in and says, Pei Asarosh, Kuf Pei Aleph, Sif Aleph. He says, Zel Lashon HaTur. He's saying, Pei Asarosh Heim Shteim. This is the language of the Tur. Zel Lashon HaTur, Kasav HaRambam. The Rambam writes, "Also, a custom of the shows in the Gemara Avodah Zarah is that Eino Mefurish for Eino Anu Tzuichem Tam Mitzvos." Fine. So the Nivchad the Bezeh Cholik im Harambam. Right? It sounds like he's arguing with the Rambam. The Rambam Talad Din Zeba of the Kolchavim Shu Choklahem. So it sounds like he's arguing with the Rambam, and he's giving the following distinction. The Imkein Ish L'Pamim Heter Mishum Sholom Malchus Kama Shiratzinu B'Simin Kufayin Ches Sif Beis. That he suggests, the Taz suggests that no, that what the Rambam may have meant, or what at least what the Tur thought that the Rambam may have meant, was that the Rambam was saying that this is prohibited because of Chukas Hagayim, right? And if it's prohibited because of Chukas Hagayim, suggests the Taz, maybe one can make a case that there are some times when Chukas Hagayim is permissible. What would be those cases when Chukas Hagayim was permissible? So suggestion Mishum Shalom Malchus or Karuv Malchus, people like that. There were a couple of Heterim that were out there for those people that had a need to get close to the king. We had a question of why that could be. If it's an Isser Deoraisa, why should it be Doch, etc. So we talked about that when we did Hilchos Chukas Hagayim. But suggests the Taz that no, that maybe the Rambam was saying, was implying, that because this is an Avodah Zarah-based thing, maybe it then is Talui in Chukas Hagayim. And if it's like Chukas Hagayim, so then there's variance leniencies that are then cooked in. So if somebody is Karov L'Malchus, somebody needs to be in touch with the king often, so then maybe they have a heter to get these types of haircuts. Or one has the right to shave with a razor or something. So he says that's what the Torah was arguing about. Val zeh kasav ator shere inu mefurish zeh yehiye mishum chukas of the kolchavim. And that the Torah explains that no, it never says anywhere that this has to do with chukas agayim. But lo matzinu heter mishum shalom alchus, and therefore there should be no heter mishum shalom alchus ela beisim mishum chukas of the kolchavim. The only kind of shalom alchus would have a heter is because chukas of the kolchavim. Bechisei makivin she'ein anu yodim tam achra lemitzvah zum and meila havek mefurish zeh eino. And if you say, well, we can't think of any other reason why this would be a problem, so therefore we'll say that that's the reason. It says, no, because we don't necessarily have to know the reason for the mitzvahs, and it could be for some completely different reason, and therefore it's going to be applicable at all times. It's not like the Beis Yosef suggests that the Torah thought that the Rambam thought that if you don't know the reason, you don't have to do the mitzvah. Chas v'shalom, the Torah wouldn't think that of the Rambam. Right? Not only would the Rambam never ever say that, but it's not even possible that the Torah would think that the Rambam would possibly say that. So that's the suggestion that the Taz has for this machlokas. Okay. So anyways, back into the halachos itself. So the Torah then continues. So what is considered peyas harosh? So kuf pey aleph, u peyas harosh heim shtayim sof harosh, hu makum chiburo lelechi miyamin umum smol. So the edge of the head is the place of the connection of the on the right side and on the left side. So a place where the something connects on the right and on the left. Yeah, like a straight line. The left, right, the bone, top of the bone, on the right as well as on the left. It sounds like the area above the bone. It explains a little bit further. The top area is explained a little bit further on. So it sounds like from the bone. Now, what is the bone? Bone here, bone here. Bone here, right? You have two jaw bones. There's a top bone and a bottom bone. Okay, so that's a question that's out there. That's going to be reserved for next week. But that is the spot. Where does he get that from? So the Beis Yosef here quotes it from a Mishnah in the end, towards the end of Makos. Says v'chayev al harosh shtayim achas bekan v'achas mikan. That you can be chayev if you get your payas cut off. Heyos, plural, you'd be chayiv two, one for the right side and one for the left side. Gemara machloi Rav Sheshes ben Pirkei Reshe, and the Gemara says that Rav Sheshes pointed between the joint in his on his head. Peyush Rashi, even though I don't think it's Rashi, I think it's the Rivan, I think it's a different Rishon at the end there. Harosh b'shtei chatichos, mekor hashar chaticha achas, umakom hapanim v'azakin chaticha achas. So Rashi explains there. Actually, harosh b'shtei chatichos is in two parts. The place of the hair is one part, and the face and the beard is the other part. Umischabru zoom zoom. They connect Bitzad ha'uzen, at the side of the ear, milfanav, in front of the ear. Visham nikra peya, and that's where the peyas is. Shisham sof harosh, chibor haprakim, nimsi sheishlo shtei peyos, achas bimin v'achas v'sol. So it turns out that you have two of these peyas, two of these connecting areas, one on the right side and one on the left side. Okay, so that part is not permitted to be cut. Okay, so now in Beis he says, actually we just stay in the Beis Yosef, ve'in chiluk b'ini megaleach ha-peyos bilvad, it doesn't matter whether you just leave the payas themselves and you leave the rest of the hair. Sorry, you just cut the payas themselves and you leave the rest of the head, the rest of the hair on the head. Or if you shave the entire thing, with the payas, b'chol inyan, it's going to be chayv. You're still going to have a problem. So Kim Pasak Harambam, Besof Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Batam Yishum Darmim Perek Shnei Nazirim, the Chuli Alma Hakafas Kol Rosh Shema Hakafa. They still call it Hakafa. That's a statement that the Gemara makes towards the end of Maseches Nazir. So even though that's not the way the priests wear it, even though it's not the way the non-Jews wear it, the non-Jews seem to be wearing like mohawk type things, still, cutting, shaving off the entire hair is going to be a problem. So I remember a couple of years ago hearing Rabbi Ari Leibowitz give a shir, apparently. There was a boy in the high school he teaches in that got cancer and was therefore going through treatment, so he was losing all his hair. So his friends wanted to, as a show of solidarity with him, they all wanted to shave their hair to go entirely bald. So that's a violation of this din, unfortunately. So we can you can get those. I think isn't there a day that they. They give out these caps. You're supposed to wear these bald caps or something. I remember seeing something about that on the news. Like that's some solidarity day. And fine. So, but to shave off the entire hair, so that's beferish going to be a problem. There is. I remember a couple of years ago, Shaquille O'Neal had just his sideburns. He kept his sideburns and he shaved everything else off.
That would be okay, right?
It sounds like it. I mean, that's what the Hasidim do, right? The Hasidim leave a lot more payas, but they shave the whole middle and they leave the. Right? So, but to go completely bald, that might be a problem, as we'll see.
Why do they shave any of it?
Why do they or don't they?
Why do they shave the middle?
Why not?
The Hasidim, the hair is not really the payah. It's like it grows from this part of it.
Right, so we'll get to the locations. Right, so locations, again, we're reserving for next week. But really, the payas is probably this whole area. This whole area is probably included, and that's what they're leaving to grow.
So why do you cut the rest off? What's the point?
Why do they?
Yeah.
To look like a Jew.
Because they want to show specifically the payas.
Maybe. Maybe we'll see if we can incorporate reasons for longer payas, but not this week. Okay, so that's Beis. So shaving off the entire hair is going to be a problem. Gimel. So b'chassav haRambam she'enu chayev el betar. So the Rambam says that you're only chayev if you shave with a razor. Aval misparayim ke'ein tar mutter. But if you shave with, if you cut with scissors. Which are like a razor, it has the effect of a razor. So the Rambam says that that's mutter. That also using scissors is going to be a problem for the Peyas HaRosh. Okay, so that's if you look in the Beis Yosef. So that is quoted here. The Rambam is quoted here. I don't think there's anything there to be really missed. But he quotes the Rush, says Vaduniya Viha Rush Sal, right? Kasa Shamisbrain Nami Khaib Al Payas Arosh Kalomar. The Misparim Keintar. Misparim Keintar, right? To use scissors like a razor. The Tamumavur Bidvar Vesof Makos. And his reasoning is explained towards the end of Makos. Shumishum the Savar the Hadisnan, because he claims that when the Mishnah says Enu Chayv Achi Itlenu Bitar, that you're only chayv, that you're not chayv until you use a razor, Ape Zakin Dafka Kai. That's specifically going on the beard. Aval bepeyas rosh lo beinan tar. But with the head, you're not lo beinan tar. You don't. You don't need a tar. You're going to be chayiv regardless. Yeah. So the question how to read that Mishnah where this is coming from in Maseches Makos. So the Rambam says, when the Mishnah says, you're only chayiv if you use a tar, the Rambam says, yeah, that goes on the entire Mishnah. While the Rosh is saying, no, that's only going on the second part, where it's talking about shaving the beard. But if you're shaving the head, you're not allowed to use misfarayim that's like a tar. V'chimash b'gemara, and that sounds like that from the Gemara, the Kamar be'izu sof roshu, zeh ha-mashvel tzedov la'chorov, aznov upadachto, that it's where you connect the sides to the back of the ear with the forehead. And it's not there talking about, and that's not the same as the shaving off of the beard. I mean, it's a different sugya, and therefore the cutting entirely off is not relevant to the head part. It sounds like that in Maseches Nazir. And he suggests, "V'had the time to sefta gabi peya harosh enu chayv achit lenu bitar misparayim kein tar misparayim." But we have this brisa where it says that with the peya harosh you're not chayv until you cut off with a razor. So he says, "No, that's not a razor. That's misparayim kein tar kamer. That's a razor like a tar." Okay, this Truma Sedeshen is really for next week. That's why the Yud is here. Maybe we'll save it for next week. Truma Sedeshen is really what's most relevant to shavers. The Heter for shavers is based on this, for using shavers is based on this Truma Sedeshen, but I think we'll save that for next week when we discuss the Peos themselves. Fine. So that is the rush. So the rush says that to use scissors, but in a way that's going to make the entire all the hair disappear. So that's problematic. So that's why, right? You can't just use a shaver on your head, right? Shavers. The reason why shavers are mutter on the face is because they are because they're considered like scissors. It's a scissor action, right? You have the blade cutting against another blade, so it's like a scissor. So why can't you do that on your head also? The answer is because even using scissors, if it has the effect of being like a tar, so then it's going to be a problem. So how much is... So what's the shear then? I don't think anywhere it gives here what the shear is. So there is a write-up that I found, actually, from Rabbi Ari Leibowitz online, where he discusses a lot of the things in the sugya. So the length of the hair, what is the minimum for the length of the hair? So he quotes Rudelsky, someplace in here, as saying that using a number two, you know, the barber is on those clippers, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so using a number two is okay. A 2, I think, is a quarter of an inch, I think. That's okay. He suggests that there are rishonim that would say a 1 would be okay. I mean, the Rambam says that using a 1, he doesn't say number 1, but he says as long as you can grab it with clippers, the Rambam says that that's okay. So that's pretty small, right? That's pretty short.
I don't know. We were told that if you can grab it, you're all right.
Right. So that's bigger than the Rambam's shear, but that's probably that's a number two. Is that's what Rafelski's shear is? Yeah. Cutting it, you know, the number two is probably included in that. Okay. What else do we got? Okay, let's...
So that should only apply...
1570 to 1572.
Was the Ramah? Okay. So that's Renaissance?
Grabbing the clippers applies to the pants.
Yes, so, the hair. I mean, your hair is the... We're talking about the sugya right now, we're talking about the hair. So the hair is the head. Well, so if you assume that Hakafas Kol HaRosh is a problem, so then it does matter. Right? If you assume that... as long as you leave the payas, so you can do whatever you want with the middle part, so then maybe... Right, then it's okay. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here and do the Shulchan Aruch instead of continuing on in Beis Yosef. The next one in Beis Yosef is the thing that we've been waiting for in terms of who's the giver and who's the taker. Who violates the prohibition, the barber or the barbie? And what about if one of them is a child? So I'll have to say that for next. Okay, so the right. So Shulchan Aruch says Kuf Pe'al Sifal Peyus Harosh Him Shtaim Sof Harosh Humakum Chibur Lelechim Yeminu Mismal. Right. So that section which we'll discuss more in detail next week, the place where you connect the jawbone on both on the right side as well as on the left side. So the Piskei Tshuva actually quotes that issue with the Rambam that I mentioned before, and he
might be
cheekbone. Is there a difference between your cheekbone and a jawbone? They're different bones. It's the same. They're connected, though. All right, figure that out more for next week. The Beis. So Bein Shigilu Hapeus Belva Bein Shigil Kol Arosh. Right, Im Hapeus. That's going to be, you're going to be chayav regardless. Gimel. So Einu Chayav El Batar. So now you're only chayav with a razor. V'yesh Omer Misparayim. And there are those that prohibit even with scissors. Keintar. If it ends up looking like guitar. And you have to be choshesh for that, right? So Machlok is Rush and Rambam. It's an issur d'oraisa we're talking about. So we're going to be choshesh for that rush. Right? So what does it mean, ke'in tar? So it says, the sha'ach, she'gozes misparayim, samuch levasar, ke'in tar. That if you cut with scissors very close to the skin, ke'in tar, in the manner of a tar, so then that's going to be a problem. While we're here, we'll just do Dalet. A few moments left. So in Dalet it says, Gam Hanikaf Chayev. So to the Nikaf, the one who is Nikaft, the one who is the Barbie, the one who is getting their hair cut. He's also Chayev. How? Im Sayeha Bedavar. If he helps out. Shemata Atz, how does he help out? Shemata Atzmo Elav Lakifa. That he leans himself in order to get cut. About Isura Ika. But there's still an isser, even if he stands, even if he doesn't help out, even if he sits perfectly still. Therefore, you're not allowed to be a nikaf even by the non-Jew. So that's still going to be a problem. What is the isser even if you're not nisayah? So that is a tosfos both in the very Nazir as well as in Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia came across more recently in the Daf Yomi. There, the Gemara is discussing. Each shliach l'dvar avera. How do you can the person who is there's a concept of each shliach l'dvar avera, that if you assign somebody to do an avera on your behalf, so you don't violate the prohibition, the shliach is violating the prohibition. So the Gemara has a couple scenarios where the original sender is going to violate the prohibition. So what's the example so the Gemara gives two possible examples of that. Number one is if a Kohen I think if a person asks a Kohen to marry a grusha on his behalf, right? So the Kohen's going to be out of it. That wouldn't be a prohibition. The Kohen's not allowed to be a grusha, but he's allowed to be, I think that was the first case in the Gemara there. And then the second case is, if a person asks somebody else in order to be the barber in such a scenario. So the Gemara or asks a non-Jew to be a barber. It means if a person goes to a non-Jewish barber and says, here, you'll be the shliach in order to cut my hair. So the Gemara says, so Tosos makes the comment, actually, the Gemara there says, if you ask a non-Jew to cut a child's hair, to cut a katan's hair in a prohibited way. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara, so Tosfos asks, what does it make a difference if it's a katan or whether it's a gadol, right? If you're asking the non-Jew to cut someone else's hair, and therefore he's not under the prohibition, and so what's the difference whether it's a child or an adult? So it says, well, if it's an adult that was misayeah, that helped out, so obviously that's going to be a problem. So the child's not going to have an issue. And then Tosfos then makes this comment, and even if the adult didn't help out, there's still obviously going to be a prohibition. Now what's that prohibition? What is that? That he's sitting there, that he's being for when a non-Jew comes to a Jew in their sleep and cuts the hair, etc. So that's a open question as to what that Tosfos meant.
Please remember he's paying him.
Okay, that's a...
Let's see what the Jews going to the non-Jewish barber for him. Aren't we not supposed to go there?
Oh, that was earlier. So under one of the hetair that we discussed several months ago as to why you're allowed to go to the barber in the first place, there is this sugya as well, that a person is even if they're not going, even if they're going to sit perfectly still, to be involved in that issue is going to be still problematic. So there's a couple more things about the barber versus not. What if it's a woman? What if it's a child? What if it's a non-Jew? What if it's a non-Jew cutting the child? A woman cutting a child? That we'll discuss in Sifrei Mishnah next week. Yeah.